fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, February 20th, 2026. Big news in our update from Wednesday. New Mexico authorities have announced that they are going to begin searching Zorro Ranch. So it is, wheels are moving. How quickly they will move, we will see. But there seems to be movement in that case. And the Andrew, formerly known as Prince, has been arrested in the UK right now for things related to sharing government secrets. But all of that is going to unveil what he knew, who knew what he knew, who he was doing what with whom. So we're going to keep our eyes on both of those stories. Today, though, we've got a lineup of odd but true tales you all have sent our way, including one that involves someone who managed to see a raid on Little St. James. But in the meantime, just want to let you know, Crime Wave at Sea 2.0 is on sale now. Make sure to go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and you get $100 off your cabin plus a private meet and greet with us. It's going to be February 8th through 12th, 2027. Cabins are on sale now. You're going to see us, Last Podcast on the Left Side, Stories, Scared to Death, Case File, Unexplained, True Crime Garage, and so many more performances, podcast recordings. There's beautiful amenities on the ship, Caribbean destinations. It's going to be awesome. So go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister to book your cabin now and make sure you get that $100 off and the private meet and greet with us. In the meantime, enjoy these odd but true tales sent in by you.
Yes, we always appreciate everyone sharing their stories because you never know who it's going to help. So thank you so much. Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Suburban Fox. Love the name. Mm-hmm. And it is called, I Had an Anonymous Stalker, Then I Discovered Who He Was. Dear Heather and Christy, I love your podcast and I'm a longtime listener, but first-time contributor. I love the sensitivity with which you treat the stories and your compassion for victims. Keep keeping it creepy. If you do end up using my story, please keep me anonymous, for reasons which will become obvious as you read my story. Back in 2013, I began to get some odd text messages. They were always blank messages, as if someone had pressed only the space bar and sent it as a message. They were always from the same number, which was not one I had stored. At first, they were relatively infrequent and I just ignored them, but they started to become more frequent. It was always the same, a blank message from the same number, and by this point in late 2013, they were coming to my phone every day. I never responded to them in any way. I tried to block the number, but back in 2013, it wasn't as simple to block a number as it is today. When I tried to block the number, it only meant I didn't get a notification when a message came in. When I opened my text message app, I could still see all these blank messages. I called my network provider to see if they could block the number, but was told they could not. The options they gave me were 1, change my number, or 2, contact the police. I was possibly being stubborn, but there was no way I was changing my number, which I'd had for over a decade, because of some anonymous weirdo. And at this point, calling the police seemed a bit drastic. So, I did nothing. Over the next few months, the messages continued, but varied in frequency. Sometimes only a couple a week, but sometimes every day. Now it was 2014, around 6 months after the messages had started, and one night, I decided I'd had enough. I'd received a message every day for 2 weeks, and it was starting to really bother me, so I called the police. They were very helpful. I live in Scotland, UK, and Scotland had very recently brought in some very robust stalking laws. The police officer on the phone told me that the law now stated that any action carried out on more than one occasion, which could reasonably be considered to cause fear or alarm, constituted stalking, and assured me that sending anonymous repeated text messages would definitely qualify. She asked me if I had any idea who might be sending the messages. I'd had a divorce in the preceding 5 years and also a subsequent bad relationship. That's a whole other story. But the number which was sending the messages was definitely not the one I had stored for either of those men. The police officer told me to stay on the line and she would call the number. She warned me that it may well be a pay-as-you-go mobile, in which case it would be very hard to trace, but she felt it was worth trying. So try she did, and when she came back to me, she told me that the phone rang and went to voicemail, and that it was a work mobile. She then told me the name of the company. And honest to God, I think my stomach just about fell out of my body and squelched on the floor, because the person who had been sending me these messages for months was none other than my only first cousin. When I blurted out, "That's my cousin," to the police officer, she sounded a little confused, not half as confused as me, and said, "Oh, okay, so can I just leave you with that then?" Confused and more than a little stunned, I muttered, "Okay," and she ended the call. To give a little family context here, we are a small family who live in the same city. This man, my cousin on my deceased father's side, was not someone who I saw regularly. He was several years older than me. We got together as a family at Christmas, but other than that, I seldom saw him. He will now, from now on, be known as Cousin Psycho. That's how his number is now stored in my phone. We were not close, and I had never met up with him outside of wider family gatherings. I was stunned and completely unsure what to do. Should I call the police back and take this further, or attempt to deal with it myself? Was I putting myself in danger by doing nothing? The next day, I was sitting in my kitchen drinking coffee, and surprise, another blank message came in. There was no way I was letting this continue. So, I replied to it. "Ladies, I know you will be able to imagine how much I wish I could have seen his reaction when he got my message. Hi. Insert cousin psycho name. This is your cousin. Insert my name. I've been getting a lot of blank messages from this phone and have only just discovered it belongs to you. This needs to stop. I'm guessing there may be a fault on your line. If it continues, I am going to need to contact your service provider." You'll notice that I gave him an out. My brain also did not want to accept the possibility that this man, who I had known since I was a child, was doing this on purpose. However, the fact that we had never communicated in any way over his work phone, and I had only ever sent him one message on his personal phone, which was a different number, was unsettling and suspicious, to say the least. Only a few seconds later, my phone rang, and I realized it was him calling me. I didn't want to speak to him, so I didn't answer it and went to voicemail. He left me a very flustered, and in retrospect, hilarious, message, telling me he didn't understand this and he didn't even have my number stored in his phone. A little bit of me wanted to believe that this was some kind of network error. Was it possible that my number was being messaged accidentally every time he messaged someone else's? However, I realized I now would be able to test this. If the messages were in error and not under his conscious control, they would be likely to continue. If they stopped, then I would have to accept that, for whatever reason, he was doing this on purpose. It may not be a huge surprise for you ladies to learn that I never received another message from that number. To say this experience unnerved me was an understatement. This man knew where I lived. He had spent Christmas Day in my home, then sent me a message on the 26th of December. I still don't know what his motives were in doing this, but I have avoided being in his company ever since, and have been known to make a few unkind jokes to my mother about him having a collection of human heads in his basement. I do wonder if I should have followed it up further, either by going back to the police or by confronting him in person. But in the end, as it stopped, I let it go. I sincerely hope he does not have a collection of heads in his basement, and that he has learned from this and has not displayed any stalkerish tendencies towards any other women. If I ever heard the slightest whisper that he had, I would be there standing with them. And a righteously enraged Scottish woman is not someone to be messed with. Stalking is such an insipid and damaging crime. I'm aware my experience comes at the very low end of the stalking spectrum, but even I felt the fear and loss of control, feeling like there was a loose cannon in my life. Keep it creepy, ladies, but not so creepy that you anonymously stalk your cousin. Much love.
What a stomach drop moment when the police officer's like, do you know this name? And you're like,
yeah, I know.
Do you know
real
this
well.
Company?
Yeah.
How
we were
bizarre.
At Christmas together a minute ago. Yeah, I know exactly who that is.
Yeah, it's when I read this, that was not at all what I was expecting, mm-mm. especially because there's not a huge relationship to go mm-mm. off of. So what was the motive?
No, it's one thing if it's good. A colleague or somebody that you had dated and didn't date anymore. Not that it's ever right, but at least in your brain's like, oh, that makes sense. But mm-hmm. the fact that it was like your cousin, I was trying to like search my mind, search the internet. Like, why do you even send just a single blank message unless it is to see that it's a working number and you're trying to like get a response out of them or yeah. just kind of be like, I know where you are and I can message you. I don't know.
I think the test did it.
Yeah.
You're very correct, Suburban Fox. Once you told him mm-hmm. that you knew what was up.
And then it stopped.
I mean, I don't think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, especially the immediate calling. Although I love that straightforward message of like, hi, cousin. It's yeah. your other cousin. I know it's you. And it's like, how long has she known it's me? I hope yeah. he shit his pants. I hope he was horrified.
Yeah. The immediate calling. Honestly, for a second, I was like, okay, maybe they're calling because it really is a mistake. But the fact that you never got another message, that he didn't think his part through on how to cover his tracks.
Yeah,
because if he had been, he'd be like, oh, I got to send another message or else she's going to know it was me. Not to give anybody any ideas.
Yeah.
But clearly, you know, it had to have been him. And why you would do that other mm-hmm. than just, I don't know, some kind of weird obsession or just
fixation. Yeah.
Yeah. Fixation is a good word for it.
Regardless of what it is, I don't like it. But you're right. I mean, even if he like kept texting her and then later goes, oh, I got that fixed with my phone company. You're like, well, how did you get it fixed? And mm-hmm. then you being the victim, could absolutely just call the phone company and go, is this a thing that ever happens? Or is my cousin right? lying to me because he wants to text me? Every single day, I would lose it. Like every day for yeah. 6 months or at least
yeah.
long stretches of every day in a row. Nah, because then the days when you don't get the text, you're like, oh, thank God I'm not getting it. But you're still mm-hmm. like, but will I? Like,
yeah.
is it over? It isn't.
And the nothing being said, it almost makes it weirder because my mind would just reel like, what is your motivation here? Like, you don't even know that I'm getting these messages. I'm not replying. Are you hoping that I will reply? And then something can, you know, maybe like, who is this? And then they fake a, you know, like a persona
catfish,
or something
yeah.
since you don't know that phone number. I don't know. But Suburban Fox was like, it's not getting to that point because I'm going to call your ass out right now.
And shout out to the Scottish police for taking it seriously
yeah.
and for passing those, especially back in 2013, 2014, like ahead of the curve, passing laws and not just going, I don't know, it's just some number, fucking get mm-hmm. over it. I like the police officers, like, I'll call it myself. I'll figure
I'll
out who it is
right now. Stay on the line. Yeah, good for them for having more severe stalking laws. We all should, because you are absolutely right. It's insipid, dangerous. And yeah, this may have been at the low end of the spectrum, but it stuck with you enough to write into us and it affected your life. And I'm sure you still like, wouldn't want to spend Christmas with him that.
Mm-mm. No, not yeah. at all. And just that feeling of I can't control who's messaging me, how it's happening, what this person wants from me. Like, mm-hmm. She said, it's like a loose cannon. You're like, I don't yeah. know what they're capable of. So I'm glad you got that squared away. And I think this kind of stuff should be reported because it's sending those messages with the purpose of harassing you and mm-hmm. they're unwanted. So making them aware, like, stop fucking doing it. And yeah, he ratted himself out though by just yeah. stopping immediately.
Yeah, he did. But good. I'm glad that stopped for you. And I hope it didn't start up for anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Sinister Hood will be right back. Let's be real. Women have been sold every miracle product under the sun. 30-day transformations, quick fixes, overnight results, and somehow none of them actually last. That's why Nutrafol stands out. It's not about hype. It's about committing to a simple daily routine that supports hair health from within, so the results actually build over time. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. You can feel great about what you're putting into your body since Nutrafol hair growth supplements are backed by peer-reviewed studies and NSF Content certified, the gold standard in third-party certification for supplements. Let your hair be one less thing to worry about. See visibly thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code CREEPY. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code CREEPY.
Well, this next one is from Brandy B, and it's called 3 UFOs in 4 Months. Hi there, Freaky Friday story lover here, since my cousin introduced me to you back in 2021. Thank you for this platform to be able to share stories like mine that may not get told to a larger group of people otherwise, because who could believe it? Let me start by saying that I and family members have had supernatural encounters that are not quite explainable. My gran told me some years back about a large, bright light that settled on her barn in the wee hours of the morning in the Sutter Buttes and then shot over the mountain at lightning speed. My dad had a bright, bouncing light follow him alongside his car down the country road to the very same home when he was in his late teens. I guess I thought my UFO stories were relegated to them, until March of this year. It was a cloudy spring day in a very small central California town that me and my husband had just moved to this past October. We had lived in a larger nearby city for years before that. As I was driving along, having just left my acupuncture appointment and feeling nicely relaxed, a bright, shiny light caught my eye at the very top of my windshield. Think streetlight bright. But this was not night or even dusk. It was about 4 to 5 p.m. As I watched the light, while trying to drive and not die, it shifted slightly to the left and I saw a metallic-colored sheen. Plane? Drone? No? It continued to move slowly away, and I struggled to grab my cell phone to record what I was seeing. As I watched it, it moved toward a large billowy cloud and then seemed to turn transparent. I briefly took my eyes off the object to video it, and when I glanced back up, it was gone. I regretted trying to film it. Why did I do that? I went home and told my husband what I saw, laughing the whole time because he's super practical and probably thought I was joking. But I wasn't. I wish I would have kept my eyes on the object the whole time. I would never get another opportunity like that. Until 2 weeks later, driving down the same road in the same town, numbing out to music, until the bright, shiny light. This time, I would not be taking my eyes off of it. I watched it, bright light in the 4 to 5 p.m. hour, moving toward the big, billowy post-rain cloud and fade into a transparent white and disappear into the cloud. I called my husband before I even reached my home and told him what I saw again. What is it? What am I seeing? He had no words. I had no words. I called my mom, called my sister, told my dad. How could this be happening? How amazing it happened twice. Until July. Uncharacteristically overcast day. It looked like it might rain. So strange, I thought. This time, I was on my way home from the larger city after getting some blood drawn and driving down a country road back to my new small town, zoning out to music. When you guessed it, bright shining light top of my windshield, 4 to 5 p.m. time frame. I watched the light moving at about the speed of a plane. No lights, no trail in the sky, nothing. And again, the bright light started to fade into white and then transparent as it headed for the big billowy cloud. I was stunned. No way this has happened 3 times. I went home and told my husband what I saw again. What is going on? My husband came up with a theory. The first time I saw the object, I had just finished my very first acupuncture appointment. Is there a connection between the two? Did some sort of portal open up that now allows me to see unidentified object in the sky? What do y'all think?
Well, I'll tell you what, Brandy, if your acupuncturist is so good that you end up seeing UFOs after it, let me get that name. I will fly out.
I'll fly out. That's what's happening.
Well, so this is Central California, and you moved from I had to look up where Sutter Buttes was, which I guess is the northern part of Central California, the northern part of this like Central Valley. And then you moved south. So the first of the sightings was seen by your family, and then you moved separately, which tells me it's a familial connection. I think the orbs, they're trying to tell your family line something, and the messages have not been getting through, and you are the one they're like, well, fuck it. He's not listening. Let's follow her home.
Let's follow her home. Perhaps so. The thing that stands out to me is the time frame of it happening kind of with the same weather conditions and time frame. That's what stands out to me.
Yeah,
and
that's
because
true.
We've learned from the ghost skill. We try and disprove things before we just assume. My thinking was
4 to 5. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah, there's just some like, if you're passing on the same stretch of road, if there's some kind of like shiny object or some kind of reflection that's happening at a certain time of day that's creating this type of illusion, and because all of these seem to happen post rain, you know, maybe there's something with that. It also could be it's post rain. Maybe aliens are out there flying around trying to figure out what's up.
They hide in the rain clouds. You got to hide behind. If you fly a flying saucer above a rain cloud from the ground, we wouldn't see it because the rain cloud's
that's
so thick.
True. Yeah.
Smart.
I don't have an answer for what is going on. I would suggest starting to record every time you see it, the details of like what the day was like, mm-hmm. the temperature, the weather, where you were on the road. And then once you kind of like pinpoint or maybe triangulate an area that this is happening, you can zero in on like, are there any things around here that could create an anomaly like this? And if not, then you've got some other questions to explore.
Exactly. You got to go down both pathways of like trying to figure out the science of it. And then also these orb visits are similar to Chris Bledsoe's description in UFO of God. So apparently that guy does great at UFO parties and alien parties. So read his book, get your stories right. pull some folks at these at the UFO parties. But it just as far as the light above your car while you're driving, that is what he initially saw. And like that's kind of and at first he was like, what the fuck is this? And later on it followed him home. So all that to say is it could escalate. Maybe just read his book. That way you know what they're capable of.
For some reason, I was envisioning this as more of like a craft. Mm. But yeah, if it's more like an orb or like a light, then I don't know. Maybe the sheen made me think it was a craft of some sort. But if they're still alive, other people in your family that have had these experiences and kind of, you know, get a group chat going. See who's compare your stories.
Or like a Facebook group. I mean, honestly, maybe posted mm-hmm. anonymously, depending, but just being like, hey, does anybody else in this area ever see like bright lights that kind of zoom off? Like thoughts on what that might be? And it might be like, oh yeah, actually I work at the military base nearby and we always test our mm-hmm. weather balloons from about 4 to 5, especially if it's rained and you're like, there it is. Or you get people going, the orb came and talked to me. And that person is who you want to be friends with. So put yourself out there.
Yeah, the 4 to 5 thing is also what sticks out to me because
they're commuting.
Unless, maybe the aliens have a 9 to 5 and they're just leaving work earlier to be at rush hour.
Trying to listen to the radio with this lady. She keeps filming me.
I'm trying to listen to Sinisterhood. Well, hey, guys, then let us know. Like, what are you doing up there, please?
Come visit, please. Mm-hmm.
Well, either way, it's very interesting and I look forward to a possible update. And if you live in the Central California area and something like this has happened to you, let us know.
Sinisterhood will be right back. I tell you what, I cannot stand if I'm wearing tights or shorts or jeans or a skirt and my undergarments are riding up on me. I get so distracted. I want to tug and pull at them and I hate it, but that does not happen when I wear my Skims undergarments, particularly my lightweight cotton ruched back hipster from Skims. It's one of my new favorites. I feel very cute in it. I feel very comfortable. It's very like my favorite soft fabric. I don't feel like it's itchy or pinchy or pulley, which is another issue I have with anything that's touching my skin. I cannot have anything that's irritating or bothersome. And I'll tell you what, my Skims intimates, from my triangle bralette to my lightweight cotton ruched back hipsters, head to toe, I feel like Skims make sure that I'm not pinching, pulling, irritated. It's a comfortable thing I can wear, and I feel supported, and I feel like it's what I want to wear underneath my clothes, and that's the magic of it. So shop my favorite bras and underwear at skims.com. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show from the drop-down menu that follows.
This first one's from Laura, and it's called "I Saw Epstein's Island Get Raided on Family Vacation." Hello, beautiful ladies. I love you and the pod. I have many, many stories to share, mainly paranormal, but I figured I'd share my only true crime story I have, the time I saw Epstein's Island get raided. Way back when all the stuff about Epstein was coming out, my family and I took a vacation to St. John's, one of the three U.S. Virgin Islands. Our resort was beautiful and right on Great Cruise, looking out over the bay/ocean. It was paradise. If you were sitting on the beach, you could see out in the distance smaller islands. This is important to the story. One day, my family, which consisted of my twin brother, mom and dad, and I, decided to hang out on the resort's beach and drink piña coladas. At some point during our day drinking, we noticed a lot of helicopters and boats going to and from one of the smaller islands we could see from the beach. "I wonder what's going on there," my brother asked. I shrugged and took another sip of my drink, not thinking much of it. At this time, I wasn't locked into true crime like I am now, so I didn't know much about what was going on in the world. A few hours later, my family and I were getting ready to head out to dinner when my brother asked us, "You know that Epstein guy that's been in the news?"
"Yeah, why?"
my dad asked. "He has an island off of St. Thomas. It was raided today." That is when it clicked. Holy shit! The island we saw boats and helicopters coming and going from was Epstein's Island. We watched the raid happen in real time. For the rest of the week, we were at St. John's, so we could see boats and helicopters coming and going from the island. I still can't believe we witnessed the island being raided in real time. It was so surreal. It's a little unnerving to think we were so close to such an evil place. I have many more stories to tell, like the time I saw a full-body apparition walk out of my parents' bathroom towards me, or how I may have seen the ghost of Bigfoot. But those tales are for another day. I also attached a photo of one of the many feral donkeys that roam the island. If you have your windows down and are stopped near them, they'll stick their face through the window, as you can see. Keep creepy and never change, Laura.
First of all, look at that donkey.
Look at
be
that
hard to say no.
Donkey just saying hey. Oh,
cute.
I have been to St. Thomas. I think, I don't remember if we went to St. John's maybe like for one of the days. Everything out there is jaw-dropping, gorgeous, and also sinister as fuck in some parts.
Turns out, like, I mean, Laura brings up a good point. Like, you're just sitting there, like, looking at an island that's not that far and not knowing that, like, it is one of the more evil places on Earth.
Yeah.
If you're thinking in so far as, like, powerful people doing horrible things to vulnerable victims unchecked for decades, like, that is just emanating, like, horrible evil. It's like being like, yeah, I was just on a speedboat next to Diddy's mansion or whatever. And you're just like, oh,
yeah.
Like, God, and to see it go down in real time with helicopters and shit. I mean, obviously, you're not in danger or anything. It's just like proximity to like history.
Yeah. It's also the juxtaposition of something so beautiful with something so evil with this like beautiful landscape. I'm sure his mansion was gorgeous too, but like being a victim there and having the worst things happen to you, and you're like, there's people on the beach across the way that are just like on family vacation having a great time.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you feel almost kind of like, how can we be that close in proximity to such suffering and not know? And it makes you wonder, you know, something as big and horrible as Epstein's Island. I feel like that same fear also strikes not everyone, but perhaps some of us as like, what could be going on with my neighbor, with the people, you know, any house you pass on the street? There's some type of, I can't remember, there's like a word for it that it's not schadenfreude, but it's similar to it in that there's a word of this feeling of overwhelm of all of the different lives that are going on around you and like you never be able to perceive them all. That too, but with like horrors.
Yeah. There's a word that is the same, but it's when you are too aware of yourself and you like perceive yourself as being too much of a person, if that makes sense. Do you ever just look in the mirror and you're like, what the fuck am I? Like, I do that like pretty much every day. I'm just like, you're like made of stuff. What's going on in there? But also, like, what is any of this really? I have a lot of existential crises in my bathroom.
I think that I just did one of the Nike Run Club runs that has Andy Pettycomb from Headspace, and he's a Tibetan Buddhist monk, and it was called The Whole Run, and it was like a lot about like mind-body integration, and I'm just like you said, having an existential crisis, because he's like, all of you, even the part of you that's thinking down to the part of you that's like touching the ground, like it's all one thing, and I was like, the gray squishy thing that sends electrical currents around the pink squishy things is making my feet, the bones, and the, you know, like you said, where you're just like, this is all component parts.
It doesn't make sense. And then there's also one where you think you're the only alive person and everybody else is in a simulation. Damn. I don't remember the words for either of these, but main I recently read about people feeling like this.
I wonder too, if the more we experience life through our devices and you almost do feel like you're the only real person, if you're like experiencing like heartache, joy, everything like through a screen versus like in reality. Yeah. Is it like, what's his face? Depersonalization or derealization that Bo Burnham just like mentioned in Inside and like struggled with and things like that. And he said he thought that it had to do something with him being so online as he was. And it kind of caused a lot of his anxiety and stuff. So all that to say, you never know what the fuck is going on across the bay.
No, across the street, across the ocean, whatever. Mm-hmm. It is. Like you said, it's jarring to think such evil is taking place all over the place when we're just sitting here. That gets to me a lot, too. I'm telling you, I think about, I mean, this is why I go to therapy weekly. I'm on multiple medication, but I think all the time, like, we're just here talking, but on the other side of the globe, like, people are being bombed as we speak, and there's war happening. And even in our own city, there's like crime occurring. And it's a lot of times when we're out on the porch, we because sirens are every night.
Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah. And we've said several times, like, isn't that crazy that like we're just sitting here talking, having a good time? And there's another storyline of several people's lives going on that we're hearing that clearly is not good. It's just the realization of things when you really sit and think about it can be overwhelming.
Oh, certainly. And for every bomb that's dropped, someone's having a baby and someone met the love of their life and someone's holding their grandma that they just got reunited with. And, you know, it's like it is overwhelming because it does happen all the time all at once. And I think that's another, again, like when you're on your phone, you're like, I'm seeing first person this person drive through a crowd or whatever, like first person. Yeah.
That Liverpool footage is. So if you watch it, just know like people were injured. As of now, no one has died because it is such insane footage that I literally thought it was AI. I had to look and I was like, surely this is not really happening. This is wild. Oh, no, it really did.
And it's so many people capturing it. So that's the other thing is like, I think our brains are processing like so many different kinds of horrors at once, which I would call it the monkey Heather inside, like the like, I got to do something about this. Like the irrational part of you gets like hyped up, even if the rational part of you is like, this is far and it already happened and it doesn't. But you put yourself in the shoes, not only of the people with the car headed towards you, but the people holding their phone who are experiencing a separate kind of horror and trauma. Separate, you know, but from that perspective of you had to witness something just as horrible as the person having to go through it, just as horrible as, you know, a family member getting a call going, we were at that parade. So I think it said 7 people remain in the hospital, but upwards of like 80 were treated for various types of injuries. But the ones in the hospital, thankfully, are in stable condition. So,
which honestly, shocking. Great news. Mm-hmm. Shocked that there weren't casualties.
Several. No, absolutely.
So. Well, Thank you, Laura, for sending this in. Hope it didn't ruin your vacation too much. This donkey, I think, probably turned things around. Man.
Definitely.
It'd be real hard for me not to want to just get out and ride one of those. You've been wanting
Give me a donkey,
a mule. Look at this. They can just roam around.
Yeah, I get a loose one. I get a donkey and a mule. They'd be best friends.
Are those two different things?
I think so. I think a mule is one thing and a donkey is a separate one. Oh, okay.
I thought they were the same thing. Breeds.
For a long time, I thought a mule was just a little horse. I mean, if they have a cold, sometimes they are. But
I knew they weren't horses, but I did think they were the same thing as donkeys. But what the hell do I know about anything?
Turns out a mule is half donkey, half horse. So it's like a Venn diagram.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get a horse and a donkey together, sparks are going to fly.
You can't help it.
We're similar, but different. Like,
exactly.
What do you got over there? What have I got? And then all of a sudden, they're like, well, we got a mule.
You get the with the and all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, sparks you fly. Get, I want mule, donkey, and horse. I think they could have workshopped that name a little better.
Yeah, why don't we have a Doors?
Why don't we have a Honky?
Come on. Well, wait a minute.
You know, they probably said exactly that. And then immediately were like, nope, we can't do that one. But could we not do Doors?
That's what I'm saying. We don't have a Doors. They're like, we have too many honkies. We're good on that. We don't need that anymore.
We do. So, yeah, we don't need any more walking around, especially an island where people are trying to vibe. Well, thank you, Laura, for sending that in.
Sinister Hood will be right back. Well, I'm become very draconian about my sleep schedule, and I listen to when the apps on my phone tell me I need to sleep some more, I need to get some more rest, I need to get my sleep debt down. And one thing that helps me is having sheets and bedding that make it so easy to fall asleep. Boll & Branch sheets are literally the most comfortable sheets I have ever slept in. When I slide my legs down in them at night, when I cozy up with my duvet right up against my face, the softness of it makes me want to go to sleep, and it gives me rest that I get a little alert in the morning that's like, your sleep debt's down, you slept soundly all night. I said, I know I did, because I slept in my very soft, cozy, comfortable Boll & Branch sheets. Truly, I've never slept better. Sleep sound with Boll & Branch. Get 15% off your order plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com/creepy with code creepy. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D branch.com/creepy, code creepy to unlock 15% off. Exclusions apply. Well, this next one is from Kay, and the subject line the subject line is true crime or poo crime.
Oh, you tell me.
Hell yeah. Hi, Sinister Ladies. Love your podcast, your sense of humor, and all the spooky, crazy, sinister topics you cover each week. The multi-part coverage of Siegfried and Roy made me laugh, cry, and briefly consider going to the zoo to see if I had a special connection with the tigers. You also really do have the best community of listeners. I came to one of your Full Moon Energy live shows in July of 2023 and was so nervous to go by myself. But everyone I met that night was so kind and welcoming. I had a great time and got to share some laughs with people who like the same weird stuff I do. This is the story of one of the wildest things that has ever happened to me. I haven't really told a lot of people about what happened, but a few people I worked with at the time might know about it. For this story, we will just use my first initial, K. When I was in my early 20s, I was working at an after-school childcare program that operated in an elementary school. We did homework help, played board games, and took the kids to play in the playground or gym. Life was good, as it was a fairly easy job, and I was friendly with my coworkers. It was also a convenient work schedule for me, since I was going for my master's degree and I was able to work around my classes. During this time, I had a long-term boyfriend that I had dated all through college, that I was sure was the guy I would marry. He was my first serious boyfriend, LOL. But the first day I started the after-school job, I met my coworker, M. M introduced himself and helped me find where I was supposed to go. I was immediately taken in by his gorgeous, intense, dark eyes. He was tall, athletic, and handsome, and I had a crush on him right away. Like a Tex Avery, hard eyes popping out of my head, kind of crush. But since I already had a boyfriend, I was determined to ignore the crush and keep things professional. We got to know each other a bit at work, and he was always friendly and thoughtful toward me. Sometimes he would save me a bag of the snacks that we gave to the kids, and we would often find ourselves playing games with the same groups of kids. We bonded over our favorite TV show and talked often. Like all elementary schools, this one had student bathrooms and separate staff bathrooms. The two staff bathrooms were both one-seaters, one for men and one for women. The majority of staff were women, so it was an unwritten rule that staff of any gender could use either bathroom, because when you gotta go, you gotta go. One day, I desperately needed to use the bathroom at work. I had been in a hurry to get there that day and had not had time to stop off at home and use the bathroom there. But no problem, because in my 20s, I was one of those people who could go anywhere. I was an opportunistic shitter. Public bathroom, train station, at work, no problem. I dropped the kids off at the pool, took the Browns to the Super Bowl, and grew a tail whenever and wherever. I'm in my 30s now, and post-COVID, I am exclusively a home pooper. During work from home times, I got too used to using my own bathroom, never regained my free-spirited potty habits. I miss the freedom. But on this fateful day, I was taking care of business with abandon in one of the staff bathrooms. I did what I needed to do, but when I opened the door to leave, there was my crush, M. Internally, I was panicking, but I decided to play it cool, walk out like nothing had happened, and my shit didn't stink. I walked away briskly back to my group of kids, praying that somehow he would have a bad cold and not be able to smell. About 5 minutes later, M came into the room where my group was doing homework. His face was deadly serious, eyebrows knit, and he asked me to step out into the hallway for a second. Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, my God. Did I clog the toilet? Christy, Heather, Sinisterhood listeners, McGruff the crime dog.
Yeah, baby.
It was actually worse. He had seen a red light glowing from a small hole in the drop tile ceiling above the toilet. And when he reached up into the ceiling to investigate, he pulled out a cell phone with a camera recording a live stream. Someone watched me change my tampon and take a shit in real time. M had immediately taken the phone to our boss, who called the police. Our boss asked M not to say anything to anyone, but being a stand-up kind of guy, M had said, fuck that, and came to find me because he felt I had a right to know. The phone was traced to its owner pretty quickly. An IT support worker who had hours of footage of female staff, regular school staff, and the after-school staff all using the bathroom. There was also footage of this guy walking around with his camera on, trying to record video of women's skirts. Because of our unwritten rule about male and female staff using either bathroom, he would have also have had footage of some male staff in the bathroom as well. He was arrested, and M was called to testify in front of a jury about how he had found the camera. He was understandably embarrassed to have to share such a personal story, but I got to see him in his suit before I went to court, and damn, he looked good. The guy was fired and got what amounted to a slap on the wrist. Probation, I think, but very little, if any, jail time, since he had no priors, and technically he didn't harm anyone. I've always been bothered by this. That this creep invaded privacy of every person, male or female, that used the bathroom during what should have been a very private moment. I believe he thought no one would ever find out and that he would get to feel like he had this gross little secret that he knew what people were doing in the bathroom. There is a happy ending to this story of poo crime. Not too long after the whole incident, I broke up with my boyfriend when it became clear that we wanted different things out of life. And a little less than a year later, Em and I started dating. Turns out he had the same kind of ah-ooga crush on me all along. We are now married and have been together for over a decade. We still occasionally talk about this story, but now we can laugh about it. Attached are pics for your eyes only of my husband and I and our little angel baby cat. The three of us get to share this life together, all because of some fucking weirdo recording me taking a shit. Life is crazy. Love you, ladies, and always check the bathroom before you sit.
Oh my God, there are so many layers of I will never recover from this if this happened to me.
Let's just start off with the fact that he's hunky. This is a hot hunk that you work with.
Respectfully, ma'am. You got a good looking husband. And you are as well gorgeous.
You're like a model. Yes, you're a gorgeous model. You're a great-looking couple. You look like you'd be the stars on a sitcom of like a will they, won't they get together.
Yeah, it's like your classier Love Island contestants.
Yes, you are gorgeous. So the thought of me taking a nasty one,
no,
opening the door in a hot hunk like your husband or mine, And is like, I'm just going to go in and then after you. And I'm like, no, you can't. I would just push him down, knock him unconscious, do something. But in this case, I'm glad you did it because, oh, my God, what a hero.
Yeah.
That he was like, hang on a minute. And then this is also why you got to marry this guy. You already did. Good job. 10 years later. But if a man just goes in there, sees a red light and is like, I don't know, and then just does his business and leaves versus one that's like, the fuck is that?
Yeah.
And then uses his athleticness to get up there and get it down. Like, hero.
Dude, imagine you push that back and you pull out a cell phone. It becomes super real. And then
that's horrifying.
It's not just recording. It's live streaming.
Streaming.
And you know what you just did in that bathroom.
Fuck.
Also, whoever is watching that live stream realizes, fuck.
You see his face.
Somebody just found this camera. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
In stream. Off, off, off.
Dude. So fucking gross. This is a low key fear of mine, traveling or Airbnbs. Like, mm-hmm. And I've watched things on, like, you shine something at the mirror to see mm-hmm. if it's like, and you know, the shower heads is a big one. Up yes. in ceilings like that.
Inside of toilets looking out, which God, I'm like, dude, you don't want to yeah. see that.
First Here's of the deal. All, jokes
I don't know
on
what
you.
You're into. Yeah, I don't know what you're into, but you don't want to see that. You do not want to see that.
Oh, man. It's God so almighty. Invasive, like you said. And it's always reminds me of this documentary / docudrama, but it was a real story about this man who bought a hotel. I think we've talked about it before.
The and Voyeur then, Hotel?
Which one?
It's called Voyeur?
Maybe that was it.
Yeah.
And he put cameras in all the rooms and yes! then had a big control center and watched them all.
And he would go and like lurk above yeah. the room yeah, yeah, yeah. sometimes too. That was that movie or that movie. It's real. That documentary fucked me up.
Yeah.
Like I can,
it's fucked up.
I see it like a memory in my head. Mm-hmm. It was so scary. Yeah. Any of the voyeuristic, like feel like you're filming kind of stuff. Really or it makes me feel, I mean, to the point that on my laptop, I have one of those little things that you stick on it and you like move the thing over to like block the camera. Cause I'm like, I'm not having you turn my camera on when I'm just like,
right,
streaming or my phone. I'm like, I'm gonna put something over my phone. I don't want it to see what I'm doing.
Dude.
Cause it knows how close your face is to your phone. I know, cause I had to turn the thing off that was like, your phone's too close to your face. I'm like, mind your business, Apple. I'm trying to see. I don't wear my yeah. glasses. I'm trying to see. But being watched.
And we all take our phones into the bathroom. So, mm-hmm. you know.
It's all, don't act like you don't. You know,
no.
we all do.
No, no, no. yeah, I got to get myself one of those things to put over the camera, too.
Post-it notes work as well. So,
that's true.
But
you can do
just
that.
As easily. But I think you summed it up there at the end, Kay, with the Elmo meme that she also included, yes. which is boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time. So shout out if you're listening to us while you're pooping on the clock.
Like, yeah,
take,
you
know what? Just take a few extra seconds and just like after you're done and just breathe a little bit more. And if they try to ask you questions about it
first,
well,
and then
maybe
exit the bathroom and then even. Take a deep breath.
Just tell everybody that you were still in the bathroom. And it's always a good excuse.
Yeah,
they can't yell at you if you're in the bathroom.
Well, I hate that that man didn't get more of a punishment. And we've said so many times it's that, well, he didn't really harm anyone. The fuck he didn't.
For real.
Like,
for real.
You're going to have anxiety about like going into places like that, checking shit. Like, you don't have to be harmed physically to be harmed. In fact, emotional harm is often harder to get over than physical harm.
For sure. And something like invasion of privacy is mm-hmm. a door you can't shut, like a metaphorical door you can't shut. So the idea that someone taking upskirts or someone taking images of you on the toilet is not harmful, then why is there a law against it?
Yeah.
So riddle me this, officer.
I saw a TikTok the other day, speaking of women that are like, I'm fucking done, who was filming a guy that clearly had a setup. It was like in the subway station down by his... You know, he was like holding the bag and you could see from the bag like his phone or a camera there. And she was like, just heads up, this guy is trying to take upskirt videos of everybody. I'm like, yeah, shame everybody. I
would
back for public shaming. I just want to say I'm a huge fan of the CEO getting called out. If you want to cheat on your fucking wife and you get called out at a Coldplay concert, that's only your fault, buddy.
Yeah.
You know?
We don't feel bad for you mm-mm. because you publicly did a bad thing.
No.
And it's like, I don't want the consequences of this bad thing to come back to me. Then do it quieter and be better and don't get caught.
Yeah.
Because we all saw.
Don't do it at all and just get a divorce if you're unhappy. Both of you.
Yeah. Both of y'all act right. Oh, mm-hmm. goddamn. Well, like you said, we're if you see somebody taking upskirts video on the subway, just pour a milkshake on them. I don't know. Like, yeah. That's the kind of thing. Like, oops, film them. Stepped on your phone. Whoops.
Film everybody. Like, mm-hmm. and there was a... It wasn't a commercial, but like a PSA type of thing that was like that too on the subway where mm-hmm. like this guy was saying a bunch of shitty things to this girl. And then he realized the girl was like filming him. And then he saw like this other lady was filming and then this other lady and she's like, I'm actually on Facebook Live right now. And if you're watching this, our next stop is XYZ. It was a commercial like PSA thing, but I was like, incredible. This is what I'm trying to get into.
That's why I was like, no, it's all of us. Like you, and that, mm-hmm. that means the non-monster assholes. And it's like, we're each other's keepers, y'all. Yeah. And like I said, I'm about to be viral and it's going to be for some shit like
for real. Viral well, and feral. You. That's what's happening in August, probably.
Coming to you soon. What will it be? Surprise for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you very much for sending that in to us, Kay. And make sure that send our regards to your hunk hero husband as
yes.
well.
Yes. And yeah. And truly. I'm glad it all worked out. And, a story, too.
Right? To have, willing to like, testify. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, I just mean like, and how'd y'all meet? And you're like, yeah. well, you're like, well, we worked together. But then we really got close after this incident.
Because the police told him to keep secrets from me. And he
was
like,
dude, yeah, no. Good for you. No.
Also, that's another reason why I would marry him, too. Because I'm like, our bond is more important than even law enforcement directives.
Always. Nice. Always.
Very nice. Well, thank you. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, speaking of cults, this one is from Kieran, and the subject line is, my parents met in a cult. Hi, I've been a listener for a long time, and I especially love the Freaky Friday episodes. Despite the dramatic title, I don't usually dwell on this aspect of my family history, as it was over well before I was born, and my parents were really casual about it until recently. My parents were followers of Osho, aka Bhagwan Rajneesh, and met at the ashram in Oregon in the early 80s, but that's not where my family's involvement begins. My mom left Austria, where she had been living with her mom, Anne, and stepdad, and spent her teen years in the 70s living in Malibu with her dad, John. After my grandma's divorce, my grandma felt lost and went to visit my mom and grandpa John, whose brother Brian was also staying in LA at the time. Brian had recently been to a retreat in Joshua Tree, where Osho's voice recordings were used to guide the meditations, and he went to India and officially became a sannyasin, basically means a disciple and what Osho's followers called themselves. John and Anne were both intrigued by Osho's teachings and also visited India to take sannyas, receiving a mala, an Indian name from Osho, as part of accepting him as their spiritual guru. My mom was 19 when she visited Anne, who was staying at the ashram in India for a while, and, no surprise, became a sannyasin. I can't remember everyone's names, but Anne became Gaia, and my mom became Anugita. My dad is from England and was traveling around Europe in his 20s when his sister invited him to visit the ashram in India. From there, he followed a girlfriend over to Oregon, but I don't think he was ever that into the spiritual path. That girlfriend might have been his green card marriage wife. To stay in the U.S., practically everyone had at least one green card marriage during the 80s at the ranch, including all the family members I've mentioned. When my parents met in Oregon, my mom was 25 and had been there for a few years, and my dad was 30 and had been there off and on. They moved to San Francisco together when the ranch disbanded. My grandmother Anne is the only one who stayed a believer after Osho's deportation and death. None of us speak ill of him around her because she's 93 and can believe whatever makes her happy. No one had any traumatic experiences, and my parents called it a commune when I was a kid, so I didn't know there was anything weird about it until Wild Wild Country came out and all my friends freaked out about me never telling them. Most sannyasins had no idea what that inner circle was up to and hated Sheila. My parents were just hanging out with their friends, smoking weed, going to meditation, totally oblivious to the dark side of it all. A few years ago, my mom realized it was a cult and got really into cult documentaries and reading books from former sannyasins who actually did have traumatic experiences. In a weird twist of fate, My mom's sister ended up in a Jesus freak movement cult and met her husband because they had both just gotten free of it. Everyone was relatively normal by the time I came into the world in 1995. So normal, in fact, that sometimes it's hard to believe that they were involved in cults. The photos I attached are of my grandpa and mom in red with their mala necklaces. There aren't a lot of photos from the ranch or India, as it wasn't super common to have a camera where material attachments could be a distraction from spiritual paths.
Well, Heather.
Listen, your parents, they did the right thing. Osho's great. I'm a big fan. No, I'm kidding.
For Heather those of you accidentally don't know, joined.
All right.
Kind of
right.
Joined. I won't all say right. She joined, but she spread the message for a minute.
Yeah, I've joked about it a couple times. It's funny when people are like, what was that cult Heather was in? It was not that serious, but it was just silly because I had purchased a meditation tarot deck that was like the Osho Zen tarot. And I was like, it's just kind of regurgitated like Zen teachings and whatever, but in this kind of deck. So I could be like, oh, I'll like pull a card and write about it or whatever. And then for a while, I had no idea who wrote it. And maybe like a year, I had recommended it to people. I had given it as gifts. I had no idea. I probably looked like I was in there like, she's like really into it. Where are her beads? Because she's been giving it as gifts. And then I Googled it and was like, Osho is wild, wild country. Wild, wild country is Osho. Had a real Ace Ventura moment. I was like, what is happening? And it turns out, yes, I was following Bhagwan Rajneesh on accident. I still have the deck of cards because it's a funny story, but I don't like study it or follow it. But
no,
it's a good point though, because there were some people that were part of it that were like, I mean, you can watch the documentary or read their books that had a horrible time. But there, a lot of times in these cults, there are just the folks that are kind of like literally background characters that were like, I don't know, man, I was just smoking weed and shit hanging out. Like, yeah, I didn't see any. I didn't poison the salad bar. Sounds like
a great time if you're just smoking weed, going to meditation, hanging out with your friends all day.
And now you get me in a cult.
Now, I just got to say, respectfully, Kieran, your grandpa John is a zaddy. There's just
no. Oh, yeah. He's got attitude. I like it.
I like the swag. I like the whole vibe.
For sure.
And so.
Pass
that on if you're able to. But it's so funny. And also that your aunt, too. But, you know, we all have things in our past that we just. You're like, yeah, that was just what I did in the 70s. And now I live a totally normal life.
Right. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. I guess I'll just go to school then. I mean, like my parents, my family, this is their history. But yeah, if they just kind of go like, oh, yeah, we lived in a commune. It was a weird thing. And especially if they didn't know, like they couldn't tell you what they don't know. But I'm sure it's completely understandable that your mom, whenever she's like, wait, what was going on? Like you would want to like dig in and like get your arms around like what was really happening, not just with the people I was in there with, but then afterwards and then other similar groups, like I totally see that becoming like a area of interest for sure.
Oh yeah. I would fall down a huge rabbit hole if I'd been involved in a group. And then I found out, oh, well, the right-hand woman was trying to poison the entire town.
Yes. Right. I'm telling you, man, poisonous salad bar. It's unforgivable. She's she's going to trash island too. Well, thank you very much, Kieran, for sending that in and send our love to your family for us. Sinisterhood. We'll be right back. Well, this last one is from Kate and the subject line is Nick from the sea. And I cannot wait for you all to hear this story.
Yes, this is one of the most bizarre and fascinating tales I've read in a long time.
Agreed. Well, thank you, Kate, for sending this in, and buckle up for Nick from the Sea. Hi, Heather and Christy. Since I've been enjoying your show so much lately, I thought I would contribute toward your content in hopes that Freaky Fridays never end. I'm not sure how to classify this story. Cryptid sighting? Or maybe a demigod encounter? Either way, while some of this story may seem exaggerated or fantastical, I swear everything happened exactly as written. Picture this. 9-30-something childless longtime friends on a getaway on the coast of Maine during a muggy June weekend a few years ago. We're staying at my friend's uncle's house on a popular beach town on the southern coast, just kicking it and being silly, our total brand. It's been a classic beach day so far, with the early afternoon spent by the ocean, getting sandy and braving the freezing cold spring in New England salt water before heading back to the house to get cleaned up for dinner. We decided to head down to the seaside clam shack, just a short walk down the road in the middle of a quiet vacation neighborhood, for some iconic New England fried delicacies for supper. Scallops, clams, shrimp, yum. It's a lovely, mild night to eat outdoors, so we opt to take our food just across the street and eat it while sitting on a seawall overlooking a thin stretch of rocky shore. Sweet Maine living. After the sun sets into purples and pinks, we've snapped a few pics for posterity, even though sunsets always look better in person. And we've finished our food. We decide to cap off the brilliant meal with some wacky tabacky closer to the water. Looking around for a private place to have our smoke, we realize the seawall we're sitting on top of has a decent-looking sitting edge right where the bottom of the wall meets the rocks that line the beach, a few feet down from the height of the road. By the time we dip down to the beach and settle ourselves into a shadowed spot between two streetlights, it's mostly dark. We've seated ourselves in a row with our backs against the seawall, perfectly hidden from the small road located just above and behind us, with a spectacular view of the water. Cue a few more pictures being taken. The main shoreline bends and twinkles up and down the coast, the moon casting a perfectly bright beam across the black sea. At this hour, the tide is either just coming in or just going out, so only a thin strip of sand is visible between the water and the rocks we're perched just above, and the rest is just the dark and restless Atlantic Ocean. I'm sitting at the end of the row of friends with my friend Apel sitting to my left, and everyone else stretched off in the row to my right. Apel, being a talented musician, has brought along a small travel guitar that he pulls out and starts strumming a tune. I'm sure a flask of bourbon was also being passed around as well. And so the nine of us just start chilling. Perfect summer vibes with the coolest people I know. Someone lights the joint. It is then we see the strangest thing. Emerging from the shadowy water, right in front of us, is a young man, mid to late 20s, fully dressed and soaking wet in a light-colored short-sleeved dress shirt and chinos, dirty blonde hair with a slight curl to it. The conversation and the music falls awkwardly silent, as not one of the nine of us, who were all just staring irreverently and directly at the water, because there's nowhere to look, mind you, had seen this person swim or walk up. Not only is it strange to come face to face with a fully dressed man from the sea, but let me remind you, this is Maine in June, and the water is so cold that it's barely swimmable in the daytime heat, let alone at night. He approaches us. "Oh, hey," he says, nonchalantly. He's eyeing us, but not maliciously. A bit stunned, we all stumble over our greetings. He wonders, a bit awkwardly, being dripping wet and having just walked out of the ocean, if we are 420 friendly, and would we mind if he hung out with us for a sec? Being an absolutely captive audience lined up against the seawall with no real reason to decline, we reluctantly allow him to sit with us. He hops up onto the wall and perches next to Apel, who, remember, is right next to me. Luckily for him, he singled out Apel, the nicest friend in our group, because I could sense uncertain vibes coming from down the row. My friends and I can be a bit clicky when deep into hang time. You know, nine's company, but ten's a crowd. And remember, this guy did just walk out of the ocean. Plus, it's hardcore COVID time, so I don't think our native New Englanders' instinct to be weirded out by a seemingly friendly interloper was that off. However, given the nature of our seating arrangement, it made it hard to all check in without being straight up rude to the ocean boy. So, giving in to Apel's better, friendlier nature, nobody protests the intrusion, for now. Apel makes some conversation with the dude as we all awkwardly chill, trying to ignore the fact that this stranger is having a concerning nighttime swim. This is what we learn about him. His name is Nick, and no, he did not come from the party at the beach club, glimmering up shore about a mile or so, which would have logically made the most sense, considering. According to him, he came from New Hampshire, as in he swam from there, in the freezing cold ocean, at night, in his clothes. Okay then. Yeah, sure. At this point, the joint is working its way down the row, and it's very clear that Nick wants some too. Still being gun-shy from the pandemic, but not wanting to be rude to our guest, I whisper to Apel as I pass it over, "Just let him finish it." And Nick does, delightedly. After that, he asks Apel if he can join him in a song, so Apel starts playing Sublime's What I Got. Nick happily sings along while he finishes our joint. The bewilderment and discomfort from the rest of my group is growing the longer this forced sing-along goes on. I can sense that we're all anxious to make sure that this wet stranger doesn't glom onto us like a lost puppy and try to come back to the house to hang out. Like I said, we are a clicky bunch. So now that the joint is done and the song is over, we politely start to make moves. As we stand, he says, "Hey, you guys should come swimming with me," gleefully gesturing at the cold, dark ocean. The nine of us share a bemused expression and say, "Oh, no thanks, way too cold for us." And to dispel any potential glomming on, we start to shuffle off the seawall, saying, "Oh, we're going to get going, have a great night." But Nick doesn't give up, saying, "Are you sure? It's really nice, I swear." "Okay," dude doesn't seem to want to take no for an answer. Our group answers, "Hey, oh no, we can't right now. We aren't even wearing our bathing suits," which obviously means nothing to Nick as he is fully clothed. He's clearly not convinced. We give him a smile and a wave as we say, "Nice to meet you, Nick." He's actually looking disappointed, dejected, as if he really expected one of us to agree to go swimming with him right now. Apropos of nothing, he adds, "It's not like I'm Poseidon's son or something." Something about this makes us all stop in our tracks. Nick continues, saying, "Come on, there's nothing better than an ocean swim at night," as he beckons to the water once again. Suddenly, the vibe has changed from weird but friendly to somehow mischievous? Pleading? Is this man trying to lure nine fully clothed adults into the cold, dark water? After we all said no multiple times, as any adult in their right minds would? Somehow, the ocean lapping impatiently at the shore behind him is starting to look colder and darker. Time to make haste. We firmly reinstate our goodbye, do not follow message just by noping the fuck out of the seawall and back up to the road. Thankfully, gets the hint and lets us go without any bellyache. Back on the road, we all share a "That was weird" look with each other, turning our gaze back to the sea to make sure Nick was out of earshot before we start discussing how bizarre that all was. Stunned, but somehow not surprised, we all watch as Nick, still fully clothed, of course, walks directly back into the ocean. Quickly, Leah, our resident shutterbug, quickly snaps a photo and exclaims, "Proof!" And for a moment, Nick is just a dark figure bobbing in the light of the moon, until he's lost to the shadows and the waves. And as we stand there, trying to figure out what the hell just happened, Leah quickly checks the photo, only to let us know a second later that there's nobody in the picture. It's just a moonbeam on the ocean. Nick is gone. Over the past few years, we've told that story over and over again, lovingly referring to our brief, wet visitor as Nick from the sea, leaving everyone to wonder, who was Nick? And why did he come from the sea? There are several theories, mostly about whether or not we actually saw him come and go from the sea. Maybe we just didn't see Nick get in or out of the water. But to this point, I can promise you, with nine pairs of eyes watching the shore when he arrived and when he left, not one set can provide evidence for that truth. You'd think at least one person would have noticed a human figure swimming along the shore, no? But some of us, myself included, can't help but wonder why Nick would bother with the confusion about where he came from. Did he expect us to truly believe he swam all the way from New Hampshire, which would be no small feat even in the daytime? He didn't seem drunk or out of his mind to us, just weird. Logically, if he swam from anywhere, it had to be from the wedding up the way, as the opposite direction toward New Hampshire was a jagged headland, customary of the rocky shores of Maine. So why not just say so? It still would have been impressive. And why, out of nowhere, did Nick casually mention Poseidon, god of the sea? Maybe swimming in the invigoratingly cold waters of the Atlantic had him feeling particularly godlike? Or maybe, despite him saying otherwise, he was the son of Poseidon? For kicks, Lee and I did look it up one time. As it turns out, Poseidon did have many, many children, gods, demigods, and humans among them, and one of his sons was named Nycteus. Nick, from the sea, is that you? I mean, swimming in the water at night trying to get high kind of sounds like a son of an ancient Greek god thing to do. And the creepy way he kept trying to lure us in the water, a sort of offering to his father. Glad none of us were convinced to try it out, even for the story. And hopefully, Poseidon, or Poseidon's son, was happy with our offering of marijuana and a song in lieu of a human sacrifice. So, what do you think? Was Nick just a wacko from the water, or did we encounter a trickster demigod in the northern Atlantic coast, tasked to lure unsuspecting evening beachgoers into the surf?
Well, you know, I've read this story probably 7 times at this point, and my theory has changed several times. I don't know that I have. Well, I think my rational brain would say he came from the wedding and he was
Chino's just stretched
out. Yeah, he's drunk. Yeah, he's drunk or high or whatever. Just that guy that's like, I'm going to swim in the ocean and go see what's going
see
on
later.
Down there.
You're like,
yeah,
bye,
but
Nick.
The fact that it's so cold is interesting. Some people can take that though, but I don't know. I mean, to swim anywhere at night in the ocean when it's freezing, like a long way, is wild to me. And it seems like where the seawall would be versus the wedding is a good, you know, it's not swimming to New Hampshire, which, okay. Now,
come on.
Nick, I'm sure you're a great swimmer, but and that it is weird. That is what my rational brain says, that he just jumped in the water from the wedding and swam on down. The Poseidon thing is interesting. That would, and the it's fact like- that he went back in, the fact that he went back in the ocean and you're looking and you see him go back in and just disappear under the waves.
Where was he going? Yeah, he dove in like Aquaman. He's going back down there.
He got to get back to the wedding? Does he have to get back to wherever Poseidon lives at the bottom of the sea?
To me, there's only one logical explanation that sort of makes sense at all. I mean, just given like where they're at and the conditions and stuff, is that he is home base sounds like is New Hampshire. He is Nycteus, the god of Poseidon's son. He's a demigod. And he was invited to that wedding up the beach.
Well, there you have it. That
and he
is
just dove in
the
for,
most logical answer.
He's
that
on
can
his
only
way
be it.
From New Hampshire to the wedding. That's why you go, did you come from that wedding? He's like, no, but he didn't want to be like, I'm on my way. Because, you know, you can't take +9 to a wedding. He was trying to hang out with you guys. That's eerie, though, to have someone be like, don't you want to get in the water with me? Come on, I promise. It's so nice. It's so inviting. And that's when you are like, what are you, kind of siren? Merman? What are you doing asking me to get in the water?
Yeah, or are we all just about to wade into the dark ocean at night in the freezing cold and just have some fun? Maybe so. I wouldn't have done it because that's none of my business. What goes on in the ocean at night, that's none of my business. And I'm going to let them do their thing. It's these are the stories that, because this was a real person, are the weirdest to me. Because even like the most logical explanation is still very strange.
Yeah. And also it's very eerie when it's not just me and one other friend or I was there by myself. There were 9 of us. Like we, a full person came and took the rest of our joint. Like we all were there for it. He smoked all of the rest of it.
And then just same sublime.
And it was like, but bye.
Yeah. If you're sitting there and emerging from the dark waters, just comes a man dripping wet. Wouldn't my first thought would honestly be, oh my God, someone has fallen over off, you know, is like swam here and they're in distress. But Nick's just like, hey, what's going on? Was he wearing shoes, you think?
Oh, it just, the description just said chinos and a dress shirt. If he was wearing shoes, I feel like they would be like loafers.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that or like
flippers.
Yeah, probably like loafers, no socks.
That's what I was thinking that he was, which lends more favor to he was just at the wedding and got wasted and dove in and then was like, I'm going to go get high on the beach with some sailors. People are playing Sublime. I'm going to get out and hang out.
Now, what we need to do is cross-reference someone named Nick in this area. Yeah. Did somebody go missing from a wedding in Maine during this area? Because that shit is creepy to like,
yeah,
you're just at a wedding and somebody gets drunk and is like, I'm just gonna go for a dip in the ocean, and then tries to swim back, and it's like, mm-mm. Well, we never saw Nick again. Or he swam down to the bottom of the ocean where his dad, yeah. is that where Poseidon lives, at the bottom of the ocean?
I think so. He probably has somewhere. A house down there. Yeah, it's kind of like the above house. That's what I call, if you're an ocean dweller and you refer to like where we live is the above.
The above,
so it's
and
much
the below.
Like the above, like you have probably neighborhoods and countries, continents, like different jurisdictions and stuff. So Poseidon
Bikini
probably
Bottom.
Has Trident's got an area, Bikini Bottom's down there, Poseidon's got his area, Never the Twain,
Ariel.
Yeah, she's down
they're
there.
They're all down there doing their thing. Yeah.
Well, I hope Nick's got his place. And if anybody else, first of all, your summer in Maine. Fuck you for that description.
That was like
an erotic story I was reading. I was edging as I was reading it. You're like, the water's so cold. We had fresh seafood. I'm just edging.
It's
while I'm
June.
Reading
it's perfect weather.
Fuck you. But no, I mean, if anybody else is having a wonderful, beautiful, beautifully temperate summer in Maine, and you're chilling down by the seawall. Let me know if a blonde dude rolls up and asks to spark one up. And if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I don't ever hang out by the seawall and smoke weed, start doing it.
Maybe
and
you
then,
should.
Yeah, maybe that should start being one of your new hobbies. And let us know if you meet this wet, wet hunk who came up out of the ocean.
It just comes out like, just waving his hair around. I want a neighborhood clam shack so bad.
Yeah, dude.
Not in my neighborhood. That'd be weird because we're nowhere near water. But, I mean, I'd still eat there. But, like, down on the water. Oh, God.
That's your
that
place
like
to go.
Life.
Yeah,
yes.
Man. Someday. Goals. We'll get up there. We'll get up there. We'll find you, Nick of the Sea.
We'll find you.
Mm-hmm. We will. Yourself. I mean, come on. Living and eating clams and smoking weed on a seawall. That's got our names written all over
Sign
it.
Sign me up.
So
yeah.
We're going to come up there.
Cryptids, demigods, where do I sign for this life?
Well, we're going to find you, Kate, when we get up there. Oh, well, thank you for sending this in. I'll think about this one for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can't wait to hear people that listen to this jump into comments on socials and stuff to let us know your theory, or maybe you've encountered Nick.
Yeah.
We're going to have to add that. If you've encountered Bigfoot
or
Nick from the sea.
Or any, honestly, if you're ever just chilling on a beach and someone walks up out of the water and tries to lure you in, and when you say no, they just dive in and disappear under the waves, let us know, because it might be an epidemic. We might not know,
right?
But this could be happening on beaches all over. So let us know.
The fully clothed is what does it for me.
Yeah, yes. Yes, yeah. The chinos, the dripping chinos.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much, Kate, and your what sounds like a very fun, tight group of friends for sending this in. And we would say send us that pic, but it sounds like he wasn't in it. Just that moonbeam was.
Just a moonbeam.
Was he even real? We'll never know. Well, thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you, everybody, for sending in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, if you have got something creepy caught on camera, you saw a weird or unexplainable clip online, or you just have a funny video you want us to see, send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. Don't worry, it's totally free. Just enter your email, join live from the Patreon main page. Enjoy the chat and the awesome people that are in the chat. We love you, and we'll see you on a Sunday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, such as Judge Christie, where Christie rules on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything I find late night scrolling can be discussed, as well as Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits we feel require our input. We also have free trials where you join for a week at any of the tiers, check out all the perks, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. Or stick around for an annual membership. You get 1 month free, and you get ad-free episodes every week, monthly live stream Q&As. We just had the February live stream, so you can go and watch the replay and see all the awesome questions we answered. We have quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet. Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And while you're on our website, you can also review the show and submit topics and cases you would like us to cover. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and information on getting your cabins for Crime Wave at Sea 2027. Don't miss it. It's so much fun. We cannot wait to get back out there with you guys. It's really nice to have something on the calendar to look forward to, honestly. And we can't wait to see all of your shining, beautiful faces again. So go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister to get your cabin. Now you get $100 off and a private meet and greet with us. So make sure you book it now before they're gone. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or maybe you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From birthdays to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever you've accomplished, we would love to celebrate with you by creating a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It is a thoughtful gift, but it's also perfect for when you don't want to deal with the hassles of shopping last minute, or you're looking for a gift that you can just get from your couch. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood and book yours now. You can find Christy on the web at Christy or GTFO or at Christy M. Wallace on Instagram and Threads. You can find me everywhere online at Heather versus the World. As always, the devil rules the airwaves. Keep it creepy.